They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Get ready for the Washingtonian tongue-lashing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner may need a suit of armor to repel the political posturing and economic earful he's likely to get on Capitol Hill today. The guy's not only been criticized for having trouble getting his full team in Treasury in place or not responding quickly enough to the AIG bailout bonus debacle, he's also got this critical watchdog report out this morning on the Troubled Asset Relief Program. It says his department needs to do a better job of tracking how banks are using TARP money. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The government's plan is to get the private sector to buy troubled mortgage-backed securities, backed by a big government guarantee. But the TARP's Inspector General Neil Borofsky says right now private investors are getting so many incentives to take part, there's plenty of potential for mistakes, even scams. Edward Haddas is with BreakingViews.com.
When the government is dangling so much money in front of you, it's very tempting to move quickly and not really pay very much attention to what you're doing. And you may sell it to people who don't really have the money to buy, or fraudsters of one sort or another, or who have laundered money.
The Inspector General is recommending that Treasury set conflict of interest rules so those managing the assets don't benefit at taxpayer expense. His office has already begun criminal investigations into securities fraud related to the bailout. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
After a big Monday sell-off, signs are pointing to a higher open on Wall Street today. Investors are waiting for earnings reports from Coca-Cola, Yahoo, and Delta Airlines, among others. Yesterday, the Dow shed 3.5%, 289 points to close at 7841. NASDAQ and S&P shares had heavy losses, too, 3.5% to 4.5%. Asian markets closed lower for the most part, 2% to 3% today, and European shares are up slightly at this hour. Britain's largest retailer, Tesco, today reported full-year profits up 2%, but the picture wasn't so rosy for the company's U.S. venture called Fresh and Easy, reporting losses there. Despite the sour numbers, Tesco plans to open 60 more stores in the United States this year. Tesco is the world's third largest retailer. New numbers this morning out of Germany show investor confidence moved into positive territory for the first time in almost 2 years. So does that mean the worst is over in Deutschland? Christopher Wirth reports.
The survey comes from the Center for European Economic Research. It shows the first positive reading for economic sentiment since July of 2007. The center says the improvement comes from current stimulus efforts and the fact that low inflation is helping consumer spending. A brighter outlook among U.S. and Chinese investors is also lifting spirits. But Stefan Schneider of Deutsche Bank warns not to read too much into these numbers.
For the ordinary, let's say, German version of a Joe Sixpack, a kind of survey drawn by a strange institute probably won't impress him.
After all, it is election season in Germany, and Chancellor Angela Merkel would like to show some evidence of a turnaround. Speaking yesterday, she said the crisis in Germany might finally be hitting bottom. The country's neighbors wait with bated breath for any signs of recovery in the region's largest economy, as that should mean better days to come for the rest of Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
My
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by DreamWorks Pictures, presenting The Soloist, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx, in theaters everywhere April 24th. By Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conserve more.com.
Merck this morning reported earnings fell by more than half in its first quarter, and overall global sales dipped 8%, well below expectations. Shares are lower in pre-market trading today for the drug maker. Its rival Pfizer is making more than $1 billion in the pills it produces for overactive bladders. This month, they stocked drugstore shelves with their latest effort, but some critics say patients can waste a lot of money on drugs they may not need, all because of the message from doctors and from advertisers. Reporter Cary Grenz has the story.
To be clear, no one disputes the reality of overactive bladder, or incontinence as it's often called. Tamara Babendam is a urologist and a medical director at Pfizer.
People may go to the bathroom as often as 20 times a day. And sometimes if they're not able to get to the bathroom in time, they can actually wet themselves, have an accident.
Babendam says overactive bladder is underdiagnosed, undertreated, and that 1 in 6 people suffer from it. That's when the eyebrows go up. John Mack is a blogger and publisher of Pharma Marketing News.
Is it as much of a problem for as many people as the industry seems to be claiming?
Critics say no. It's a case of disease mongering, where companies, doctors, and the media exaggerate the extent of a condition, like irritable bowel or restless leg syndrome. Mack says he has evidence supporting the skeptics. In 2002, he attended a presentation by an executive from the drug company Pharmacia detailing their success in inventing overactive bladder.
It really made an impression on me because it was the first time somebody actually said that they created a disease.
That company has since been bought by Pfizer, and its bladder control drug continues to be the market's bestseller. Pfizer couldn't confirm or deny the validity of the presentation. Steve Permit is a medical professor at Temple University. He says pharmaceutical companies can't just invent a disease.
I think, you know, we know when there's a disease. I don't know of anything that I prescribe that isn't for an acknowledged medical condition.
But he does recognize the influence of advertising. Permit himself receives money from a pharmaceutical marketing group.
The pharmaceutical companies spend billions of dollars a year on both advertising directly to the public and to the profession, and they wouldn't do it unless they thought they could influence sales.
Permit says for many patients with overactive bladder, the treatments can be very simple. Avoid caffeine and don't drink as much. In Philadelphia, I'm Cary Grenz for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, our scratch pad with online host and blogger Scott Jaga there at the website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.